Yep, okay. Oh, new version. Let's remind me later. All right, so minimize. So we're gonna we do All right, let's get started since we're all busy, right? So intro, here we go.
I didn't know that plant looked like that.
Welcome to the Rebel Alliance Briefinger. Please visit our website, https://rabr.kailejohansen.us. There you can find links to send us feedback, connect to us on social media, or instructions on how to load the podcast onto your device.
It's all down there.
I'm Kyle John Johansson. This is Andrew Scott Sutton and Rick Ross Bosley.
No,
it's
Rick
time
today.
To talk Star Wars.
No Rick today. Rick Scott. Conflicting appointments.
I don't see me. I only see you.
I see you, so that's all that matters.
Okay.
That means it's recording you, so that's good. You got your video funky.
All right.
So today we're reviewing Star Wars Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13, called Into the Breach. Who?
That's a look that could kill. Jesus Christ.
Who? Oh, you're watching it?
Yeah.
She's got some looks.
Jesus Christ.
So first off, we're going to do an unboxing. And then we're going to talk about the episode, and then we're going to beg you for feedback. So, yeah, we want your feedback as soon as possible, right away, anytime. I have some feedback from Rick, but I'm not sure how I'm going to play it.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was fairly good. Let me see if I can figure out how to download it onto my computer here.
So, have we heard, is this the end of the Bad Batch, or are we going to have another season?
Yeah. It's the end. It's the final season.
He better kick everybody's ass. That's what
season.
I have to say.
We'll see. We'll see. I think they all die.
They
all right.
All die?
So, like I said, we're going to do an unboxing first. So, we're going to pause here for that. We say unboxing.
Now we have a special treat. It's unboxings.
Yay, unboxing. Here's our box here. Look, it's from UPS Ground. Where's my stabby tool? Here it is. Okay. Check the sides. What do you think it is this time, Scott? What is it?
Is it Princess Lady?
No. It's wrapped in paper again.
Keep us safe. Work.
Let me get rid of this.
Same box.
Okay. There it is. Oh, that light above us is not very good, is it?
Well, that's a little bright light.
Let me turn that off, because that'll help a little bit. Oh, that's too much.
That's horrible.
Okay.
What is it?
Okay, so it says Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Uh-oh.
629. Let's get closer there so you can see it better there.
Oh.
Look at that. So let me turn it on side. Let's see, you can see the better. He's got his lightsaber there.
Yeah.
629 is the number. Like I said, each one of them has a, when it's manufactured, it's a new number. So.
That's the production number. That's the number that came off the line.
Sort of, because they're grouped together. So like, if you look on the back here, see there's a group of right here.
Okay, I understand.
They're all in this. They're all in order. So this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's 629, and then the fifth brother here is 630. Blah blah blah. So this is the Obi-Wan collection from the show.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're doing Obi-Wan. Here's the side view. You see the side view puppy?
Yeah.
And then there's the top of his. His eyes there.
Look at that. It's Obi-Wan.
So that is our unboxing. Yay. Yay, unboxing.
Magna.
Yay, unboxing. Unboxing, unboxing, unboxing. All right. Whatever. So we're back from our unboxing. That was a pretty good one. It was
wow.
Obi-Wan Kenobi, the man, right? He's a pretty
good guy.
He's the man. So let's do this thing here. Where's it at? That one. So that's our spoiler sound. That just means that we don't want you to watch this anymore unless you've seen the episode, because that's very important. We're going to spoil everything for you, including right now. We're going to talk about cast and crew. So we've got director Saul Ruiz, writer was Pat Rao, and the editor is the same. It's always Matt Mitchovitz. Then the music is the same too. It's Kevin Kinner, Sean Kinner, Deanna Kinner. In the crew, we had our regular, Clone Force 99. We had Hunter, Wrecker, Batcher. There was Commander Scorch was in there, and Crosshair. They were all done by D. Bradley Baker. Omega was in this episode quite a bit. Michelle Yang is Omega. We had AZ-3 was in here. Ben Disson. And he was also an Imperial Tech. We had Dr. Scalder, which we don't see very often. That's played by Helen Sadler, S-A-D-L-E-R. Royce Hemlock again, of course, the Doctor, played by Jimmy Simpson. There was a Stormtrooper number 1, played by Jeff Boehm. And Lieutenant Novitz was also played by him. And then we had Emery Carr, of course, since she's running the special projects area now. Now we have all the little kids. Sammy, I think that's the new owl-looking kid, played by Naya Singh Padilla. Okay, that's a fun name. Stormtrooper, played by Matthew Wood. Imperial Pilot, played by Nosher Dali, who also played General Rampart, or Admiral, whatever his name is, Rampart. And then some more of the kids, the SP-54, which is Eva, played by Owlin M. Whelan. SP-32, which is Jax, played by Ivan Sinitsyn. And Byron, played by Shelby Young, which I think is the green guy that was the garage. Yeah, so we're going to play a commercial real quick so I can take a drink.
Are you planning your next trip to Tatooine? Well,
come on down to Pelly's Mod and Repair Shop, where our droids will spruce up your wagon. We'll service just about anything from Starfighter Corellian Y-1300 freighter to a Vespa hovering scooter. If we don't have the part, we can get it. If you qualify for our special program, we'll provide you with any part our Jawas can get. Well, that's right. Come on down to Pelly's Mod and Repair Shop, where we can store fuel and upgrade your vessel. We're located at Tatooine's Mos Eisley Spaceport, Hangar 35.
Maybe the Bad Batch needs to take the Marauder in since it got blasted last episode. Yeah. That's better. Not as much forehead. All right, so that was our commercial. I had my little drink from Quick Trip that I drank there. Scott's got his Twisted Teas drinking.
It's gone.
It's all gone. So, again, Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 13, Into the Breach. It originally aired on April 17th, and it was 23 minutes long, shorter than almost all of them so far. And we're still in the same Star Wars time of 18 before the Battle of Yavin, which is when the first Death Star blew up. Well, Scott, you drank all of your other drink, but it's time to grab your favorite beverage. Pull up your chair close and join us in the Rebel Alliance briefing room. All right, so we're going to talk about this here. The episode starts out... with a shot of Tannis base from above, and there's a nanny droid that enters the red screening area leading to the Tannis vaults, flanked by several Imperial scientists and clone commandos. The nanny droid slots a data pad into the wall, which activates the bell alarm and the bells silently chime. Omega and the other Force-sensitive children climb out of their bunks and head to the tables in the center of the vault, while Omega gazes at the scientists and staff in observation decks above. Omega introduces herself to the Kitosh, who introduces herself as Eva. Eva explains to Omega that the Imperials want them to play a hologram game. Omega notices that Eva has a Tuca doll, same Tuca doll that she got when she was in prison before. Eva explains that Dr. Emery Carr gave it to her, adding that she is the only nice one. Omega asks if the adults above are always watching, and the Merlin named Jax confirms this is the case. Eva introduces the other children, Sammy and Byron, which is the green guy, I believe. So when Omega asks how long they've been here, Sammy says the Imperials don't like to talk about that among themselves. Jax warns that if they cause trouble, things only get worse. And Jax motions to Sammy to follow him before leaving. Sammy reassures Omega that she will get good use of it. On the gas-covered world of Borovolia, Rampart asks Hunter what they are doing in such a blasted place. Such a crappy place. He doesn't like it. He's too prissy for that place, right, Scott?
Yeah.
Hunter threatens to send him back to the labor camp. Rampart reminds him of their bargain, and Hunter counters that Rampart will be freed once they have the exact coordinates of Tannis base. Shortly later, Echo arrives on a stolen Rho-class transport shuttle. Echo explains that he stole the shuttle in order to reach them and adds that the supplies they need are aboard. Echo doesn't trust Rampart. Why should he? Nobody should trust Rampart. Hunter responds that he is their best shot at finding Omega. The clones and Rampart aboard the shuttle. When Wrecker interrogates Rampart about the shuttle, the former Vice Admiral reiterates that Dr. Royce keeps Tannis base a closely guarded secret. Mm-hmm. Any ship going there must first dock at the Imperial Station Number 3, which orbits Coruscant, the capital. There are coordinates transmitted directly to the navigational computer so that nobody has, you know, the coordinates in their head. Pretty scary, huh? Yeah. Echo confirms that the Imperial Station exists but cannot verify the rest of the story. Rampart denies that he is lying. He studies a hologram of the station, and Hunter proposes traveling to the station and finding a ship that's departing for Tannis and pulling its coordinates. When Crosshair says they will need Imperial clearance codes, Echo says that he has got that covered. He's already stolen some codes. But Rampart warns them, hey, they change them every rotation, which rotations are usually, a day, a 24-hour period for us would be a rotation. Yeah. They change them every rotation, prompting hunters to say that they need to leave right now then, huh?
We gotta go.
We gotta go now. Rampart says they cannot simply walk into an Imperial station in their present forms. Crosshair and Hunter reveal their plan involves Rampart disguising himself as an Imperial officer, while the clones disguise themselves as his security detail. Rampart is reluctant to impersonate a captain, since, you know, he's a vice admiral. He says, hey, yeah, that's a demotion. What the hell, man? Regarding its lowly station, Echo responds that he has been demoted, prompting Rampart to say that I hate these clones. I hate them. They're so mean to me. I hate them.
They hurt me. I hate them.
Yeah. Back on Tannis, Dr. Carr prepares to extract blood samples from Omega. When Omega asks the other children where she came from, Carr admits she doesn't know, but insists they are well looked after. Omega says that she would like to believe her while the Tannis medical droid collects a test tube containing her blood and deposits into a dumbwaiter system in the wall. While Carr is distracted, Omega steals a small metal tool and hides it in her sleeve. She wasn't very obvious to us. She's like in and out of her sleeve. She's like, look what I did. Omega mingles with the children at the table. In the observation deck, Dr. Skadler objects to letting Omega mingle with the other children. And Carr counters that children are engaging in activities designed to keep their minds active. And reassures her colleagues that they have them under constant observation. When Skadler remarks that that they do not stop Omega from escaping previously, Carr asserts her authority as chief scientist and says she will run the vault as she sees fit, damn it. Oh, she didn't say damn it. She didn't say damn it, but that's what she meant.
Damn it.
It's my vault. I'll do it the way I want. While playing blocks and cubes with their inmates, Omega asks the other children about the movements of the droids and troopers. Eva says that the droids come twice a day to check the vitals after meals, while Jack says that the troopers are only sent into the vault when they cause trouble. Eva asks that Jack once tried to escape, but he did not get very far. Jack says there's no way out of here, and they're never getting home. Omega tells them that she escaped Mount Tannis before. I'm an expert. I escaped before. Anyway, she's been trained and had help. She asked that she is doing it if she is doing it again, and promises to take them with her. Omega uses the blocks to show the layout of the vault. She explains that their circular prison is surrounded by walls, but there are tubes in the walls that the droids use to transport their samples. She says she needs to get inside to see where they go, and Jax responds that only the droids can access those hatches. That's when she, shows her, oh, I got this thing here. I got a tool. When Eva warns that it won't take them long to notice she's missing, she replies that she likes that challenge. I got this, she says. As the shuttle approaches the Imperial Station number 3, Rampart reluctantly dons his captain's uniform, while the clones disguise themselves as Imperial commandos. They look kind of funny. The technicians request their identification, and Echo says they are a transport shuttle Alpha 4 and transports the landing codes. The technician, after a little bit, finally gives them clearance to land on docking bay 5-02. After terminating communication, Hunter warns that they will have to act fast since their shuttle will be reported missing very soon. Rampart demands an assurance that they will release him in event of their mission succeeds. Crosshair responds that he will have to trust them, and Wrecker warns him not to mess things up. Rampart says he can blend in while remaking what the clones stand out like overheated Gamorreans. Which Gamorreans, if you remember, are the pig-like creatures that we saw in Boba Fett, the guards.
Yeah,
so before disembarking, Hunter reminds Rampart that the Empire betrays and imprison him while they were freed. Rampart warns not to betray them. Rampart says that he gets...
That sucks!
Hunter assigns Wrecker to stay with the vessel and monitor comms. Outside, a bearded Imperial officer confronts the group and says their shuttle is not on the docking manifest for today. And he notices that the clone's armor is not regulation and asks what division they are from. Rampart says they are soldiers that are from his division and that his orders are classified. Dun, dun, dun. He tells the lieutenant to check with Governor William Tarkin if he doubts his story. The lieutenant backs down and apologizes. Oh my gosh, I don't want to mess with Tarkin. Rampart says he missed this and leads the Bad Batch and Echo inside. In the corner, they see several TK stormtroopers walking past. They also walk past one of those little mouse droids, MSE series mouse droids. They approach the control room, which is guarded by two stormtroopers. Rampart convinces them to report to barracks for further orders by threatening to send them to the brig or violating Article 15 of the Imperial Standing Order Number 10. Which, I don't know what that is. Inside the control room, Rampart requests a station manifest from the weapons technician. When the technician requests his access card, Hunter stuns him. Pew, pew. Echo uses his cybernetic link to access the computer. Back at the hangar, the lieutenant confronts Wrecker about any inconsistency is in the shuttle's manifest and asks him to verify his signature key. Wrecker leads him inside the shuttle cargo hold and knocks him out. Boom.
Boom.
That'll teach you to question me. Boom, I knock you out. You
talking about Willis.
Mama gonna knock you out.
What you talking about, Willis?
Yeah. Well, Echo accesses the computer. Wrecker updates the clones about the Imperial Lieutenant via comm. Hunter tells them to be ready to take off. And Echo learns the science vessel docked on Bay 8 is scheduled to depart for Tanis soon. When Hunter suggests getting into the Navic computer and pulling the coordinates, Echo responds that the vessel is tagged for direct uplink after it launches, so it still hasn't received the coordinates yet. Crosshair says that means there's no way of pulling the coordinates and questions Rampart if he knowingly withheld this information. Rampart says that he did not take interest in such technical details. When Hunter proposes boarding the science vessel in order to reach Omega on Tantus, Rampart points out that the science vessels have heightened security protocols. Echo volunteers to infiltrate the ship, and Hunter tells him to disable the proximity sensors once he's aboard. Hunter says they will attach their shuttle to the hull and hitch a ride to Tantus.
Yeah. I thought it was, there's a tracking beam or something like that. A tractor beam that he was going to turn on, or a magnet or some stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of what they do, is they magnetize their ship to attach to it. Rampart's protesting and says he does not agree to this plan. He says it's too risky. Yeah. Crosshair counters that plans change, and Hunter orders them to go radio silent. Back on Tanis base, Sammy, the owl-looking thing, plays with Byron after the droid leaves. Omega heads back to her room. Skyler notices her movements and walks down to investigate.
Omega uses her tool to remove the blocks. Messing with the stuff in her room.
Yeah. She removes the blocks leading to the dumbwaiter, and Skyler enters the vault, but Omega has managed to hide her handiwork. Not after she got a really good look, though. There was a pretty good tunnel like system there that we saw.
An elevator and all that crap. The dumbwaiter.
Exactly. She returns to the table and tells the other children her escape plan is working. So she's figured out something. How to use the dumbwaiters.
But we'll never know.
Yeah, we probably will. I think they escape, but I think they capture her again. But anyway.
If this is the last episode.
No, it's the last season.
Oh. There's three more episodes. Oh, thank God. It kind of pissed me off. I didn't look at the last one. No, they can't leave it like this.
Yeah. We're almost done here. So at the Imperial Station, Echo enters the Imperial Science Vessel's hangar Stormtroopers are boarding the vessel while astromech droids enter the ship via suction tubes.
We go outside, go body.
Yeah, Echo decides to enter the ship inside the suction tube to hide from the stormtrooper. At the helm of the science vessel, the ship's captain orders his crew to initiate the launch sequence. Meanwhile, the other clones and Rampart return to the shuttle while Wrecker removes the unconscious lieutenant. Echo contacts them, and Hunter tells him to disable the proximity sensors. The stolen shuttle trails the science vessel, and the vessel captain is informed by crew about unusual droid activity at the rear of the vessel. The clones and Rampart wait for Echo to disable the proximity sensors. Echo stuns the stormtrooper, who is sent to check the droid compartment. He gives the captain the go-ahead. Rampart wants to abort the mission, but Hunter is determined to proceed. And the ship's, you know, like the ship's getting ready to go, man. You better hurry. Get those things disabled. Crosshair and Wrecker restrain Rampart, and Hunter takes controls. Echo disables the proximity sensors at the last minute and gives the clones enough time to detach the shuttle before it jumps to hyperspace. It was like the last second, you know, like, and then the credits start rolling. So yeah, that was a somewhat exciting episode. It was interesting because we're getting a plan that she's building too, right?
Who's the strongest of the who's the strong kids are they going to take? Is the owl going to have to ride on somebody's back?
Yeah, probably.
That escaping kid.
It's just a little kid. Okay, let's see which one's first. Sorry, Scott, I'm looking.
At these come out Tuesday or Wednesday.
Wednesday. All right, so I'm going to play. Rick left two messages for his feedback, so let me play them. Wait a second. See if you can hear. It's going to start here in just a moment.
Okay, this week's episode was really good. Probably one of the better ones of the season just because it was full of action. And a lot of stuff going on, kind of in behind the scenes, I guess, kind of the same.
Did you hear it?
Well,
barely.
My goodness, I heard him.
Okay, let me start it over because it started in the middle. Hold on.
Okay, this week's episode was really good. Probably one of the better ones of the season, just because it was full of action. And a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, I guess, kind of the same. So, don't really know for sure what's going to happen with Omega. Bust out,
me neither.
Or at least make an attempt. I think the scientist is probably...
We're going.
She's realizing that she's on the wrong side of things. I can't think of what her name is off the top of my head right now. I'll think of it later, whatever. The fact that they were able to attach themselves to the transport means she is going to find them, or they're going to find her one way or the other. They're going to make a connection. Rampart is kind of a wild card. I haven't quite figured out how he's going to play into this, but somehow he is going to play a factor in the last few episodes. But overall, I thought it was a really good show. Like I said, I think it's one of the better ones this season. A little confused how it's going to end with just two more episodes.
I am too.
I guess we're going to find out since...
I'm way confused.
Less than 30 minutes.
That's the point, right?
Really hoping one of them goes a little bit long, or both of them, actually. But we know that the 30-minute mark is kind of where they've been standing, so we got an hour left in the show to figure out what's happening. So, kind of a little anxious about next week's episode.
Me too!
Because I think tie some things together. Leading into the final episode, and then when the final episode hits, we're done. So, kind of a bummer. But this episode definitely was good. Had a lot going on, action-wise. A lot of stuff kind of just flowed.
Left us wanting more.
Yeah, he did another second one here. So let's see what's on there.
wasn't for sure how long I had, so I only went about a minute and a half or two. So one of the things that really kind of I enjoyed, I guess, was the fact that they sterilized their uniforms or their armor, more so than their uniforms, their armor, but it kind of gave them a unique look, and I kind of wonder why they didn't really stand out or were questioned, since obviously their armor looks different than everybody else's. So it's kind of a little confusing part there. Obviously Rampart knows his part and can play it and, you know, say they're a special unit or whatever, but kind of surprised me it didn't arouse suspicion.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, their uniforms are different, but they look more like those clone CXs, those CX2 clones.
Didn't they like spray paint them or something like that?
No, they basically cleaned them. Yeah, spray painted them, whatever you want to call it. But you know, they had scratches and bumps on them, so they just kind of smoothed them out and made them all uniform color.
Okay.
All basically black or gray, whatever you want to call that.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Raven. Yeah, I'm anxious about the episode too, because you know there's not a lot left of the show. Thank you, Rick, for feedback. We hope that everybody else will give us feedback too, right, Scott?
Yeah.
We're gonna ask for feedback here in just a little bit, but I wanted to see, Scott, since you. You're anxious about it. You know, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think Omega's going to be able to escape, or is she going to be doomed to stay there forever, you know, until the place gets blown up later on?
Well, I hope she escapes, you know, but I mean, I don't think, I mean, if they're after her so they can keep Palpatine alive, you know, then I don't think she escapes, or they got enough stuff, got enough DNA and stuff from her that they can replicate.
Yeah, we also have to remember, you know, there was a problem we saw in the prequel movies with Jango Fett's once they were concerned because Jango was dead and they didn't have any more fresh DNA.
Yeah.
DNA was degrading after so many clones they had done. They didn't know if they were going to be able to create more clones, remember? So,
yeah.
I mean, that could be part of it, too. They got to keep her for a while so they can, you know, do all their testing and stuff. Because supposedly, Snoke, you know, the big old Snoke guy, he was also part of this project. He was a failed attempt to clone Palpatine, or supposedly. It was never really said in the movies, per se. Except Palpatine said it in the last one. He said, everything in your head is something that I created, or whatever. Every voice, or whatever. And he said, he mentioned Snoke during that time. Every voice and every thought you've had or whatever has been my design or something like that. But they never basically said, except for we did see in some of those tubes in one of the movies, there was more Snokes in the tubes.
Yeah.
And they were all different. You know, like they were not quite the same or whatever. But anyway,
what do you think?
I've held the thought for a while now that, I didn't see that she was going to get captured again, but, I did think that she was going to surrender so that, the rest of the team could escape. And be safe from the Empire. But it looks like, you know, they're going to come back and, risk it again and probably get captured again. I don't know. I just think that, I think there's going to be more casualties than what we've seen so far. You know, like, Tech is dead, supposedly, right? Maybe. We might see him again, but maybe he's dead. Maybe more of the Bad Batch gets killed.
So do you think that that nurse or whoever took over the head of project, do you think she's fallen in line now? She seemed to just go about her business.
Well, I think she's kind of doing like Nala Say did. Nala Say was following orders, but she also was, you know, helping Omega escape. And I think that Dr. Emery Carr is who you're talking about. I think she is willing to help too. She just knows that they're watching her closer because of what Nala Say did. So I think her putting Omega in with those children is basically her saying that she knows that Omega's going to escape if she does. The only way that Omega wouldn't escape again is if she isolated her. So.
That's true.
So, yeah, anyway. Two more episodes left. Let's see here. Let me pull up this page here. Where'd it go? All right. I'm going to tell you what the episode titles are because there's episode 14 and episode 15 left. And we were kind of worried about spoiling and whatever, but it's too late now.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't they not release those until like, or no, not
they
even?
Released, they released them before the season even started. Oh, but wow. Rick and I noticed that they changed the names on some of them. So the next one is called Flash Strike. That's April 24th. And then the Calvary Has Arrived is May 1st. 1st of May.
May Day.
And then May the 4th, which is Saturday of that week.
Yeah.
That new Tales of the Empire show comes out. And they're going to release all the episodes at once. So it's like six episodes, like the, you know, Tales of the Jedi was.
Yeah.
But it's Tales of the Empire. And I think maybe we're going to probably review a couple episodes at a time, not do them all at once or whatever. But because I think later in, we've got May and then June, another show starts. Can't remember which one it is. Maybe it's the Acolyte. I think, I don't remember. But anyway, just catching people up on all that. Like Rick said, two more episodes. So they're doing a good job of kind of confusing everybody so that we don't know what's going on, right?
Nope.
All right, so let's push this.
Hi, Maggie.
All right, so that means we're begging you for feedback. We want you to send us feedback at feedback@kylejohansson.us. That's our email address. You can go to our website, which you'll hear here in a minute. We're going to read off the website name. There's a link on the left-hand side for feedback. You click on that, and it'll bring up a form you fill out and submit it. We're on Twitter/X, whatever you want to call it. At @super_duper_pod is our name there. We're on the Blue Sky Network, the Blue Sky social media, at Rebel Alliance Briefing Room. And if you go to our webpage, there's a link for social media. You'll see some feeds from Twitter on there, and you'll see a feed for at least a post for X Blue Sky on there too. So you can kind of see what's going on there and whatever. And of course, we upload the audio and video now to YouTube. So you can either listen or watch the podcast there. And you can add comments to the videos and stuff, just like Scott did this week. Saying that we did a really good episode last week, and he surprised that nobody else is giving feedback, basically, right?
Right.
Come on, everybody people. Needs to give us feedback, right, Scott?
All
right. Why is nobody doing it? We have...
Are we just dorky enough that they don't care?
Yeah. We have a somewhat loyal enough following. I think On YouTube itself, I think we have like 5 or 6 people that listen at least every week. There's really, from what I can see, there's really nobody listening to us on Apple Music, but that's fine. On Amazon, we've got 2 or 3 people that listen somewhat regularly. The Indians, that we always talk about, we get quite a few people listening there. I'd say in a month's time, we probably have 5 or 6 people that listen there too. But Amazon is the same, couple people, and then we have at least one person every week that listens to us on Spotify. So there's a small following. I'd say, less than a dozen people total that are following us on all these places. And that doesn't even count the ones that go to our website and just click on the link there, and you can listen to it right there on the website too. So, I think we got a small enough following. It's just nobody knows. Nobody is brave enough to send us any feedback. You can do like Rick did and send us some audio, and we'll play it. You can send us email, text email, and we'll read it off and stuff. You send us the feedback from the website, we'll read that. Maybe you made a video on and upload it to YouTube and give us a link on Twitter or whatever. We'll read it from there too. So anything you want to send us for feedback, we'll take. Because we're desperate to have other people comment on what we're talking about. So
If you want to, and if you want to come in and join our Zoom, you need to tell us ahead of time
yeah,
so
there
we
we
can
go.
get the screen full of people.
We could do that too. Definitely. I'm not going to publish it publicly though, because that'll invite people we don't necessarily want. But yeah, if you want to do that, let us know ahead of time and we'll send it to you. But yeah, so anything else you wanted to mention, Scott, about the episodes or what you think's going on?
Man, you had me there. Oh, it was the last season, and I thought you meant there was the last episode, and it ended like that. I was like, no.
They wouldn't do that, but I wouldn't be surprised that
Oh, they wouldn't do. Don't give me
there's a
none.
surprise at the end somewhere. I wouldn't be surprised that the last episode there's some sort of surprise. Luke Skywalker shows up. Oh my gosh, no. I don't know. That's I don't think that'd happen. Because that would be so this is 18 before the Battle of Yavin, so he would still be at home working with Uncle Ben or whatever. In the desert. So he'd be too young. He'd be like barely a teenager at this time. Actually, he's probably just a little baby at this time because 18 years before, and supposedly when he was flying the ship into the Death Star, he was like in his 20s or maybe 18 or something like that. So this is really early for him. So it could be
A
Obi-Wan
young
Kenobi shows up. He would be around.
Palpatine.
A Palpatine, but why would Palpatine want them to escape? Especially when he needs Omega. I don't know. Darth Vader's not really around either. Darth Vader isn't until like 7 or 8 before Battle of Yavin when he becomes a thing. So I don't know. I don't know what the surprise could be. It could be maybe Mace Windu shows up or Yoda.
Yoda.
Yoda. But yeah,
Maybe
so
not happy.
we'll see what happens. I'm gonna push the outro then.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast. Please visit our website where you can play current and past episodes. That's https://rabrkylejohansson.us. That's RABR.KAIJ. LEJOHANSEN.US. On the left-hand side is a navigation menu. You can use this to learn how to load the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room podcast on your Android or Apple phone and tablet. And we have direct links to our podcast on Apple and Google Podcasts. Please participate by connecting to our social media, answering questions of the week, or submitting feedback directly from the site. Again, all of these are available at the Rebel Alliance Briefing Room website at rabr.kailejohansen.us.
Yeah.
This podcast in no way is approved, sponsored, or owned by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. All opinions are solely owned by Kyle and or Scott, and in no way express the views or opinions of their past or present employers. Views and opinions are not supported or restricted by Lucasfilms Ltd., Disney, Disney Plus, or any of its subsidiaries. Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or any or other use of this podcast and its affiliate sites without consent of Super Duper Podcast Network and its host is prohibited. I am Kyle John Hanson, and this is Andrew Scott. Say goodbye now.
There's Andrew. Say goodbye. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.